Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I think I found the perfect way to kick off this Freedom Friday here on Montana Talks. Let me see if I can get this to roll for you here. I was scrolling through X earlier this morning, you know, checking out the Trump War Room on X, checking out Rapid Response 47 on X, and then one way or another, I came across this God Bless America post from the White House. Let's just roll it.
I just got three things to say. God bless our troops. God bless America. And gentlemen, open. Start.
Man, I wonder if our friend George Blackard is back there in the studio just ripping his T-shirt off Hulk Hogan style right now. Man, what a way to kick off a Friday, huh? Are you ready for the weekend now, George, or what?
Oh, yeah, you got to get that blood pumping, man. That's great stuff.
Well, and if you watch the video, too, of course, you see some NASCAR race drivers, you see some American fighter jets and more. But, yeah, I had to start the show that way here on a Friday because, ready for a weekend. You know, it's getting to be late August now. You got to take advantage of every single weekend you got at this point.
Absolutely. You know, and it's going to be a beautiful day today. I think the high in Billings is supposed to be 77, kind of getting a little relief after the last couple of days. But, this would be a great weekend to get out and do some stuff, that's for sure.
Well, I didn't even wait for the weekend yesterday. Man, I was, I did my show live from the Whitefish Lake Lodge and then immediately packed up my gear, changed into my swim trunks and a Montana Knife Company T-shirt. But then I had to do one more interview because I got a chance to catch up with House Majority Leader Steve Scalise. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise popped in after the Western Congressional Caucus Summit, so I was able to sit down and interview him. I'll be sharing that later on in the 9 o'clock hour. But then I had to go jump in the lake because, yeah, it was a perfect sunny 80-something degree day in Whitefish. So you know I'm hitting the water, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great time to do that for sure.
Well, man, sounds like you've been following this Washington, D.C. crime crackdown story, so I'm looking forward to hearing more of your thoughts on that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I got a little input. I've been to D.C. a few times, and I think there's a great story about the way some of the local businessmen and vendors are reacting to it, so it's pretty telling, really.
You know, there was a great video. I don't know if you guys saw this. Speaking of X, I think the Trump War Room actually shared this on X. But, you know, there's National Guard troops. There's federal law enforcement agents that are in D.C. right now helping to crack down on the crime in our nation's capital. And there's a great video of an elderly woman trying to get down to the metro, you know, their subway station in D.C. And there was a National Guardsman escorting her down the escalator, holding her by the arm, and then grabbed her walker and set up her walker for her and everything. Anyway, if you need a good uplifting video to see here on a Friday, go check out that one for sure. I reposted it, x.com/Aaron Flint. Hey, Freedom Friday, we got George in the house. We're taking your phone calls as well. In fact, we'll start with a caller, Kat, in eastern Montana, right after this.
It's August 22nd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is... Take your cat to the vet day. Routine checks can help you avoid large vet bills and keep your feline friend feeling healthy. On this day in 1950, Althea Gibson becomes the first African-American on the U.S. tennis tour. Her Hall of Fame career includes 2 U.S. Open, 2 Wimbledon, and 1 French Open singles titles. She's credited with paving the way for other African-American champs such as Arthur Ashe and Venus and Serena Williams. In 1969, after 88 weeks...
With Sergeant Pepper's love.
Beatles album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band drops off the charts. Born on this day in 2001, LaMelo Ball, the NBA Rookie of the Year in 2021. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
A message from FireSafe Montana. A process called wildfire scoring may be used to determine the insurability of your property. Your home may be insurable today, but it might not be in the future. If building a new home, check with your insurance agent to determine if they will insure it, how that score was determined, and what the cost will be. And remember, wildfires can happen inside the city limits. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, George Blacker joining us on this Freedom Friday. We're taking your phone calls as well, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app, or we'll have more open phones time in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Before we get to George talking about crime in our nation's capital, you know, George traveled back to our nation's capital several times as he was helping to put together the Big Sky Honor Flight, taking our great World War II veterans back to their memorial in Washington, D.C. I got to join him for one of those trips, but wait till you hear George's stories about Washington, D.C. and some of the shenanigans back there. All right, we'll get to that in a second. But first, Kat in eastern Montana on the phone lines. Kat, I remember you called in before you were speaking at the Pachyderm Club in Great Falls. How did your Pachyderm Club speech go? And tell us a little bit more about your tour across Montana.
Well, good morning, Aaron, and thanks to our veterans. My first tour in Montana was a success. So Great Falls, which is the rhino epicenter of Montana, was fantastic. The Pachyderm Club was amazing. What a strong group of patriots who I absolutely adore. People even traveled from Helena to see me, Aaron. I was very shocked and surprised, flattered. But a lot of my attention is now focused on the Cascade County. So we have a lot of work to get done there, and I am up for the task. I'm here for all of it. I did want to mention, because it's best to shine light on situations, so I wanted to mention that the Cascade County Central Committee has refused to hold quorum in order to get official business done. And I find that strange, considering that's exactly what Democrats are doing in Texas. It's funny how similar Democrats and rhinos act. And I think it's important that the voices of Cascade County and the
Fox News commentary.
So if Eric Heinbach, the chairman of Cascade County Central Committee, Steve Fitzpatrick, the treasurer, or George Nikolakakis, the finance chair, listening, please stop acting like Democrats and conduct business or like you're supposed to, or step aside and let somebody else handle the Cascade County Central Committee. I did also want to mention, Aaron, that we, the Carbon County Freedom Pack, put up a billboard and totally roasted Brad Barker, which is just absolutely glorious. What the billboard says is Barker talks conservative but votes liberal. And I thought that was a great message. It's on Highway 212 in Rockvale, Montana. And it's nice to finally see some fruits of all of the labor that people are putting into all of this whole project. So on that note, God bless you. God bless America. And you have a very good day, Aaron.
All right, Kat, thanks for calling in. Yeah, that billboard already getting some attention from our listeners. So it's getting some eyeballs on it. I had some of our listeners message us a photo of that billboard on the Montana Talks app. So it'd be interesting. Yeah, this is a billboard basically targeting State Representative Brad Barker in the Red Lodge area. And I tell you what I'd like to see is a photo of the billboard. And then I'd like to see, you know, the folks like Kat from the Rhino Removal Project kind of outline, okay, here's why we say that he voted too liberal. And then a response from Barker saying, wait, here's my side of the story. I would love to see a side-by-side on that one. Thanks. That's getting some attention, that's for sure. George, you know, what I would say is for Kat, you know, I just want to say, hey, to her and anybody no matter which side of this internal GOP debate you stand on, you know, she's part of an effort called the Rhino Removal Project, going after some of these more moderate Republicans. But I just want to say, you know, good job for her, not just calling into the radio, not just posting something on X, but going out and talking to people and meeting people with the Pachyderm Club and stating her case. That's what this system is all about, right? You know, from any side of the argument, get out there, go talk to people, and state your case, right?
No, absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing. Knowledge is power. And it just used to irritate me to no end when you would have a meeting of an organization and, you know, maybe you don't have a quorum. So if you don't have a quorum, you can't do business, right? But then somebody would always find a creative way to get around the rules and go ahead and do business the way they wanted to do business. And it just irritates me. So, you know, I think it's good that she and people like her know what the rules are. They know the way things are supposed to work. And with that knowledge, you can help educate other people and get stuff done.
Yeah, and these Pachyderm Clubs. I've been to the Pachyderm Club in Great Falls. They got a great group, great organization. When we did our border security tour last year with our friends from Americans for Prosperity Montana, we brought Chief Clem and did a big event in Great Falls, and then he went and actually spoke. I think at that event we did with AFP Montana, one of the guys said, "Hey, Chief Clem, you know, he was the equivalent of a 2-star general, was his rank for the Border Patrol before he retired." And so anyway, one of the guys raised his hand and said, "Hey, Chief, tomorrow our Pachyderm Club is having a meeting. You should come speak to our Pachyderm." He said, "I'm there." And he showed up. So, yeah, great group, great organization. George, let's see. In addition to the D.C. crime story, what other stories do you want to get to here this morning?
Oh, you know, I've got a couple of them. One, there was a fire aboard a Navy vessel. It's the first ship fire that, well, it's not the first one, I'm sure, but it's the first major one since 2020 when the Bonham Richard was destroyed by fire. Wanted to talk about that a little bit. And then also, unfortunately, and, you know, this is happening now more and more these days, but America lost its last living World War II ace. And he lived in Nebraska and died at 103 years old. So I wanted to touch on that a little bit as well.
Yeah, great. I was missing you yesterday. We had a Congressman Ron Estes out of Kansas joining us from the Western Congressional Caucus. I said, it's too bad our friend George wasn't here. All right, back to it right after this. Stand by.
Fox Sports Update.
Game at Yankee Stadium. He finds the second deck. A two-run bomb. And man, oh man, how bad did the Red Sox need that going into the bottom of the ninth?
Major League Baseball on Fox TV Thursday. Four-game weekend series between the rival Yankees and Red Sox saw Boston snap New York's win streak at 5 games. The Red Sox won at Yankee Stadium 6-3. Rookie Roman Anthony had an RBI single and the two-run home run, his fifth career blast. Red Sox teammate Alex Bregman said of Roman Anthony, "To be honest, he's probably the most mature 21-year-old, baseball-wise, I've ever seen around my life. I'm trying to find out what he does wrong. Honestly, we all are. He just does everything the right way." Bregman's former team, the Astros, scored a 7-2 win over the Orioles to go 2 games up on the Mariners for first place in the AL West. The Padres remained 1 game behind the Dodgers and the NL West. Dodgers beat the Rockies 9-5. The Padres over the Giants 8-4. WNBA, 9 straight wins for the Las Vegas Aces. 19 points and 13 rebounds for Asia Wilson and an 83-61 win over the Phoenix Mercury. Las Vegas hasn't lost a game since August 2nd. Preseason NFL, the Steelers beat the Panthers 19-10, but Pittsburgh lost number one draft pick, defensive end Derek Harmon, to a sprained knee. He was carted off the field. And the Giants, 42-10 blowout win at the Patriots. Giants rookie T.J. Moore scored a touchdown on a 44-yard interception return, but later got carted off the field with a leg injury. Beginning next college football season, the Southeastern Conference will feature a 9-game in-conference schedule. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey said, "Adding a 9th SEC game underscores our university's commitment to delivering the most competitive football schedule in the nation." For more scores, stories, and features, go to foxsports.com. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com. Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I just saw a breaking news update here from Fox News that just came in. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth authorizing 2,000 National Guard soldiers to carry weapons in D.C. if needed. That's a breaking news alert that was just sent out by Fox News Radio. Before we talk about the D.C. crime story with our friend George Blackard. Yeah, George, I guess you caught the tail end of my conversation yesterday with Congressman Ron Estes out of Kansas. Got a chance to catch up with several members of Congress in the Flathead for the Western Congressional Caucus Summit that took place. I'll have the Steve Scalise interview coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But, yeah, you know, you and I were kind of joking about this during the break. What I found just interesting about talking with all of these members of Congress, you know, George, you're from Kansas, right? And whether you're from Montana and you're dealing with the grizzlies or the lynx or the sage grouse or pick whatever thing they're going to use to try to kick you off the land or deny you access to so-called public lands, or whether you're in Indiana and they use mussels to keep the farmers from accessing their water, or whether you're in Kansas with the lesser prairie chicken, these crazy environmentalists, doesn't matter where you are in America, they will use the Endangered Species Act to try to shut down your farm, shut down your job, and deny you access to your so-called public lands. It's just par for the course, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gotten so crazy. And the sad part is that you have these activist judges that will basically do whatever they want them to do when it comes to this. And you can look at these judges and you know which way they're going to rule right off the bat because of their past history.
Yeah, Judge Malloy is the easiest example. And, of course, his name came up, the radical left-wing federal judge in Missoula who destroyed our timber industry. Of course, his name came up this week at the Western Congressional Caucus for sure. Okay, now going to this D.C. crime story. I mentioned the news out of Washington here. I think Washington, D.C. had zero murders now. For several days, which is like unheard of in our nation's capital, unfortunately, in recent years. The number of carjackings was over like 200 last year, already close to 200 this year. I think they only had one in the last couple of weeks now. But you and I were talking about the Big Sky Honor Flight, and you were such a big part of that. Through your efforts with the American Legion, you helped put on these Big Sky Honor Flights that took plane loads of our World War II veterans from here in Montana back to see their memorial in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. And George, you were telling me that tragically, even riding around town on a busload full of World War II veterans from Montana, you could see how bad our capital had been getting.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. So on those 9 different trips we made out there, part of the experience was on the last day we would get a police escort to the airport, and we would leave from Arlington National Cemetery and drive through the mall area. And, you know, people standing on the streets, they see this police escort, and they just started flipping us the bird. You know, and this happened all the time. And so when I read this story today about, you know, the people here are super nice and there's no crime here, we don't know what they're talking about. I thought, yeah, well, I guess that's all objective. What do you think nice is or nice isn't? I don't know. But, you know, I've spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C. I've been there 14 or 15 times probably. And I've seen, you know, I told the story about when a carload of my shipmates and I got lost, and we stopped at this little gas station that had bars on the window. I walked up to the window, and the guy said, "Get in your car and drive down that road and don't stop until you get to this point." He goes, "This is not an area that you fellas should be in." Mm-hmm. And so I've got personal experiences. You know, I had a shipmate that stopped in Washington, D.C. He stopped at a convenience store. When he come out, there were 4 guys sitting on the hood of his truck and standing in the back of his truck, and they beat the daylights out of him.
Wow.
And robbed him. And, you know, this guy wasn't small, and he was a military service member. So, you know, I've seen plenty of stuff in D.C. to know that, yeah, they got a crime problem.
Yeah, and this is our nation's capital, right? You know, part of me, too, though, you know, when I've been seeing all these headlines about federal law enforcement agents in our nation's capital and National Guard troops in our nation's capital, look, it's our nation's capital. It's important, right? And if we can't clean up our own capital, how are we going to clean up the rest of America? And so it is important. It is symbolic. But the other side of me is also like, man, I want to see these types of resources also deployed out here to our Native American Indian reservations to help tackle the Mexican drug cartels and the Tren de Aragua operatives and to get every single one of these criminal illegal aliens out of our communities here in Montana. But I understand why you have to do a surge like this in our nation's capital. And I know they've surged other resources out here to Indian country also, but that it just, it's a reminder also of all the cleanup that needs to take place elsewhere across America.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing that I think is interesting is that story you told about the soldier that was helping the lady with her walker and that sort of thing. And, you know, that's what our military is. We have a good military. They're not jackbooted thugs that are out there pushing people around, you know, and I think that's important to remember. And, you know, it's like this one business owner, he owns a liquor store in Washington, D.C., in the story I saw at Fox, he said, you know, in a way it's good because it's safer, but it kills my business. And he's seen a roughly 30 to 40% drop in his store's sales. Well, you know, he says this because people are afraid to come out and buy liquor at his store with the military around. Well, you know, it may cut down on a little foot traffic if they're illegal and aren't supposed to be there. You know, sorry, but they shouldn't be there anyway, if that's the case. But the thing I thought was interesting was there was like a vendor, and I'm assuming he's a hot dog vendor or a t-shirt vendor. He says, you know, our military, they weren't trained to deal with civilians. And he says, I think they have better things to do. And I think, you know, I don't know this guy's backstory, but what he doesn't know about our military is a lot, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but they have a voice and they get to say these things. And, you know, one thing they said was, we don't need them in D.C. We're not under a state of emergency of any kind. Honestly, if you know anything about D.C., we really police our own. We really take care of our own around here. Yeah, I don't believe that for a second.
Well, you know, it's bad when the union for the Washington, D.C. police are even saying, yes, please, have the feds take over local law enforcement here in Washington, D.C. Yes, please come take us over. We want you to take us over right now. When they're saying their own leadership is so bad and the crime is so bad that, yes, please come help us. Yes, please take us over. How many other organizations say, hey, would somebody else please come take us over right now? Because, you know what I mean? And I actually had Greg Pemberton, who is the chairman of the D.C. Police Union. He's still a D.C. police detective. He's been, I think, in the D.C. police for 20 plus years. And I was chatting with him off air the other day when we had him on the show. And it was kind of crazy because, you know, Washington, D.C., it's just crazy how I've only done very, very brief visits to D.C. in the last several years. Right? I just don't go back there. I mean, why would you want to spend too much time back there right now, you know, with the bureaucracy and the swamp? And it's like you go there to get business done and to fight for America, and then you get the heck out as soon as you can. But you know, when I was a college student at Howard University, I mean, I was like the only white guy in my freshman dorm, and I'd have to walk through Section 8 housing to get back to my dorm because we were several blocks off campus. And I love the people in the neighborhood. They're great people. I'd stop, you know, because people would be like, hey, what are you doing? You know, and so they see a white guy walking through. They're like, well, what's this guy's story, right? And but, man, I'd get done waiting tables at like 11 p.m. midnight, and I'd have $200 cash of tip money, and I would put it in my shoe for when I, you know, walked home from the subway, or, you know, I'd try to catch a cab, but the taxi drivers didn't even want to go to my neighborhood. Everybody would say, well, these taxi drivers are racist because they don't want to drive to the, you know, the black neighborhoods. And I'm like, I'm a white guy, and they didn't want to drive me to the neighborhood. And they're black cab drivers, so how are they racist? But, again, the people in D.C. know the crime situation. That's why I think they're backing what President Trump is doing.
Oh, I think so. I think the majority of people probably are. And, you know, we saw that this police chief was a DEI hire, was the former DEI officer for the department before she became the chief. Doesn't know what a chain of command is. You know, there's a lot of issues going on there with that. So, you know, if we need to give them a little help to get things straightened out a little bit and calm down and let them reorganize, then I think it's a good thing.
I saw President Trump yesterday went out and greeted the troops, some of them and some of the federal agents that are securing our nation's capital right now. And apparently the White House was cooking burgers for the troops. They got to meet President Trump. He was out there mixing it up with them. And anyway, President Trump, while he was out there greeting with the troops, of course, he's got a microphone and all the cameras are there. He had a really funny line when he talked about how they're going to make Washington, D.C. great again and make our national parks great again as well. You know, George was talking about, you know, taking World War II veterans from Montana to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. I'll play that soundbite from President Trump coming up here right after the break. We got the phone lines open for you as well, 406-294-0970, if you want to jump in on the conversation. Let's see. Just got a great message from Kevin, I think in Billings as well. So, Kevin, we got your message. We will get your message shared with our friends at Dad Camp. So thanks for that message. All right, back right after this.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here on Freedom Friday with our friend George Blackard. Let's see here, George. Yeah, you had a couple of good Freedom Friday stories. You know, on Freedom Friday, not only do we take phone calls from listeners, kind of like an open lines Friday where you can call in and jump in on the conversation or share a topic, get George's thoughts on that and more. But we also try to do, you know, special, you know, tributes or just highlight stories specific to, you know, patriotism, military, law enforcement, veterans, you name it. And by the way, on that front, I know I briefly mentioned this Wednesday on this show, but yesterday marked 20 years since we lost Lieutenant Josh Hyland from Missoula, Montana in Afghanistan. He gave his life for this country, Lieutenant Josh Hyland. And we'll talk more about Lieutenant Hyland and other fallen service members coming up next month in early September. The University of Montana is having a big military alumni reunion, and they're going to have the Thursday on September 11th leading into that military alumni reunion. The University of Montana is going to have a big 9/11 memorial service as well. And I know they're going to pay tribute to Lieutenant Hyland and his family and other fallen service members, of course, at that deal. But George, here's what's really cool is that because UM is having this military alumni reunion, and because it's now 20 years since we lost Lieutenant Josh Hyland, who was an ROTC cadet at the University of Montana. He was an Army Ranger prior to that. Before becoming ROTC cadet and then gave his life for our country in Afghanistan. But grateful nation, Montana, just does great things to recognize our Gold Star family members and the fallen. And so Lieutenant Hyland's family and a lot of his classmates and friends are going to be there for that reunion and for that memorial. So it's just going to be incredible to get a chance to get everybody together and remember. It's just crazy that it's been 20 years.
Yeah, that's great that they're doing that. It's always great to say these names and keep these people in our thoughts and not let their memories go. So, you know, that's like this story from military.com. America's last living ace from World War II dies at age 103. This is from Adams, Nebraska. He was believed to be the last surviving ace. And for those who don't know, to gain ace status, he had to shoot down five enemy aircraft, and which he did. His name was Donald McPherson, and he was a fighter pilot aboard the USS Essex, which was an aircraft carrier back in the day in the Pacific. And, you know, this guy, he, one of the things that I found interesting is his daughter, Beth, said that he left a legacy reflecting his dedication to faith, family, and community instead of his wartime feats. He was very humble. But it said when it was all done, Dad lists the things he wants to be remembered for. First is he's a man of faith. And, you know, I think that's a really important thing when you're talking about someone. And it says a lot about him, because if that's what he lists first as his accomplishments and the thing he wants to be remembered for, that tells you a little bit about his personality. But the interesting thing, too, is, you know, he earned three Distinguished Flying Crosses. That's pretty good. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, just another one of America's greatest. And I just thought it was important to mention him. But you can see that story at military.com if you want to go read about him a little bit. He flew an F-6 Hellcat fighter, which is was a great aircraft, and that was with VF-83. So just remember that. Remember Mr. McPherson in your thoughts. Donald McPherson, 103, U.S. Navy ace.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, that just got me thinking, man, we should start a new radio program, like a daily, you know, Freedom Minute or something like that, where it's just, you know, a great story or remembering somebody or highlighting something. Man, George, you could fill that show every single day with content that we could feed to radio stations all across the state. That'd be cool. Maybe we'll put that in the idea box here one day. I know you're a busy man though, so I don't want to put more on your plate. Hey, real quick before we get to your other Freedom Friday specific story here, I better play this soundbite before I forget to do it. We were talking about, you know, President Trump and the White House cooking burgers for the National Guard troops back in Washington, D.C. Probably a good thing that the White House was cooking the burgers instead of Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer, somebody might have gotten sick if Chuck Schumer was trying to cook the burgers. Unless you got good beef, then you can eat good beef. You don't need to worry about cooking that too much. You can eat that practically raw and be good to go. But listen to this soundbite. You know, President Trump was talking about not just making Washington, D.C. great again by getting rid of all the crime. But listen to this one as well.
One of the things we're going to be redoing is your parks. I'm very good at grass because I have a lot of golf courses all over the place. I know more about grass than any human being, I think, anywhere in the world. And we're going to be regressing all of your parks, all brand new sprinkler systems, the best that you can buy, just like Augusta. It'll look like Augusta. It'll look like, more importantly, Trump National Golf Club. That's even better. But we're going to have all brand new, beautiful grass. You know, like everything else, grass has a life. Do you know that?
Anyway, there you go. I thought that was hilarious. We're going to make it look like Augusta. No, better yet, we're going to make it look like Trump International. Hey, isn't this guy just fun to watch? I mean, isn't he? He's hilarious. He's tough. You know, these reporters who complain about Donald Trump, it's just like, oh, get out of here. You guys have got to love this guy and covering this guy.
Well, you would think, and they could be having fun with it, but they have such disdain and hatred towards him that, you know, they can't see a good story right in front of their faces. And even if there was one, they would do their best to wreck it. So, yeah, it's sad, really.
Yeah, on that front, actually, this reminds me, this was a soundbite I had queued up yesterday for the show and didn't get to it, but Greg Gutfeld was talking about this on his show about, you know, how Trump has made politics fun. He's made politics fun. I think people have more fun watching Trump in politics now than they do watching sports sometimes, right? But apparently, Chuck Todd, you know, the guy who lost his job as the host of MSNBC's Meet the Press, apparently he thinks it's just absolutely awful. Trump is so awful for the news business that he just can't handle it. I think the Chuck Todd soundbite is in here. Let me see. Oh, yeah, it's coming.
You don't hate the media enough. Tonight in Why You Don't Hate the Media Enough, watch a joyless Chuck Todd whine yet again about Trump.
Hubert Humphrey's memoir was called The Politics of Joy. And I always loved that, which is, you know, hey, look, it's, you know, I still enjoy it. Unfortunately now, I mean, you know, the way Trump practices it, it has made it less joyful, right? It has just sucked the joy out of it, both left and right in different ways. It's been really hard in the Trump era. You know, look at political comedians. They have a hard time.
Yeah.
He didn't have any problem with political comedians from 2015, you know, before 2015. And here we are today.
I don't even know where to begin with this cat. He lost his job, and that's why it's not fun.
Right.
Everybody is having fun under Trump. Even his critics are laughing. Trump took the joy and the humor out of his life and gave it to everybody else.
Oh, man. Yeah, George, wasn't that just hilarious? I mean, yeah. Oh, Chuck Todd's depressed because he lost his job. But yeah, you can't say that Donald Trump has not made covering politics fun.
No, absolutely. But, you know, I think that's right. The guy lost the job. It's sour grapes, and he's just disappointed. He doesn't have a voice anymore.
Well, and these liberal late-night so-called comedians, they're not losing their jobs and losing their ratings because Donald J. Trump is being mean to them. They're losing their jobs because they stopped being funny. They stopped being what late-night comedy is supposed to be.
Well, he's accomplishing so much that they don't want to give him credit and they don't want to give him props. So what are they going to say about him? I mean, he's doing great things, and they just don't have the easy fodder they used to have.
Yeah, and the American people are totally read in on everything now, too. There were a lot of Americans who were so easily duped by the fake news media in Trump's first term. And now, after they saw what they did, lies about Russia, lies about COVID-19, the mandates, the lockdowns, people are read in to the hoax across the board. All right, more to follow. We got another Freedom Friday from George Blight, another Freedom Friday story coming up right after this.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The Associate Deputy Attorney General for Joe Biden criticized highly problematic language used in a single warrant signed by an auto pen, saying the wording of the pardon offenses was too vague, could render the commutations and pardons ineffective. The lack of specificity could also result in commutations in circumstances, including crimes for violence that was not intended. He said there's no clear direction from the president, meaning Joe Biden, 2 days before he left. No offenses have been described to the Department of Justice from the president. The commutations, he says, do not take effect. He's number two at his own Justice Department saying all this. Pretty spectacular.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, gets a lot of interesting calls to his office when folks are ready to tackle their gutters.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household. Household.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Riley Green is expanding his 2024 album Don't Mind If I Do with a deluxe edition dropping August 29th. The RIAA Gold Certified record will now feature six new tracks. Fans will finally get the full version of Make It Rain, a song Green has been teasing on his Damn Country Music tour. The deluxe also packs in collaborations, Cowboy As It Gets with Randy Houser, and I Just Need You, a duet with rising artist Hannah McFarlane. Jimmy Allen was found liable for sexual assault, battery, and other claims Monday in Tennessee. The ruling stems from a 2023 lawsuit by a woman who said Allen assaulted her in a Las Vegas hotel room in 2022 and secretly filmed the encounter. A judge issued a default judgment after Allen and his company missed multiple deadlines and court orders. Allen has denied the allegations, blaming the missed deadlines on his lawyer's health issues. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, so you guys have heard me talk about how Billings Last Diet now has this remote option. You guys know that Billings Last Diet has been an incredible program for me. I lost 33 pounds in under 3 months. You know, I got back from my last deployment when we launched this show several years ago. And, you know, even though I was exercising all the time, just kept piling on more pounds. I call it post-deployment celebration disorder. Anyway, Billings Last Diet, lost the weight, kept the weight off ever since. But now they've got, you don't have to be in Billings to benefit from their Ideal Protein program. They've got a remote option. And you've heard, you know, we've got Tim out in Savage. He lost 100 pounds thanks to Billings Last Diet using their remote option. Well, now I have used the remote option too. So I'm doing my diet tune-up, just a 2 to 3 week diet tune-up right now. And so normally I'll check in with my coach once a week or once a month, but during tune-ups you check in once a week. So I checked in with my diet coach using the remote option. I was attending some of these panel discussions in Whitefish for the Western Congressional Caucus. Those meetings started at 3. I had my meeting with my diet coach right before that, so we did our video chat, and I did my check-in. She read the scale using the remote scale and everything and had a great update, by the way. So anyway, the program works. It's awesome. I can personally attest to the remote option as well as the in-person option. Check out BillingsLastDiet.com or give them a call, 294-6751. George, you had another Freedom Friday-related story for us.
Yeah, so, you know, in the Navy, when you're aboard ship, a lot of times fire can be almost a daily occurrence because you're around machinery and explosives and fuel and all kinds of things. But there was but you train for it and you train hard to fight fires. Well, there was a fire on the USS New Orleans off of Okinawa recently, and it was a 12-hour firefight. So that's a crazy amount of time to fight a fire. The interesting thing about it is, you know, this ship obviously was prepared, even though it took them 12 hours to put out the fire. They don't say what the cause was. They don't say what was burning. But there were only 2 people treated for minor injuries after fighting this 12-hour fire. So that tells you that this crew was prepared. They knew what they needed to do, and they did it. So I just find it interesting. And, you know, people just don't understand what that sort of thing is like. When I was in the Navy, I was on the main space fire party. If there was a fire in a boiler room or an engine room, then those were the fires that I went to fight. You know, everybody's a firefighter. It just depends on, you know, which fires you're going to go fight at the import, in a main space, whatever it is. But a great job they did there. And that reminds me of the Bonham Richard, which was the last major fire back in 2020. That fire burned for like 4 days. And wow. That one, yeah, that one, there were like 63 people that died in that fire. Obviously, that crew was not prepared, and there were a lot of things that they did wrong, and it was a terrible example of readiness. But, you know, it's dangerous. Being aboard ship is dangerous every day. So that's my right. thoughts go out to everybody that serves in the military.
That's a good reminder on this Freedom Friday, or Red Friday, as some people will call it. Remember, everybody deployed. We still have troops deployed. We still have folks on deployment on these ships. And just the training environment alone is dangerous, because you got to be trained to fight. Train as you fight. So that's going to be dangerous. So these men and women that stepped up, that served, that are serving our country right now, thank every single one of you and your family members for what you're doing, even today. Even when people think we're not at war. George, great reminder. Great to have you every Freedom Friday. Thanks so much for your time this morning. My interview with House Majority Leader Steve Scalise coming up right after this.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.